Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please turn with me in your red hymnals to number 549, and we'll sing the doxology together, number 549. Worship is hymn number 694. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. With his stripes we are healed. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 399, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Taking
Thank you for singing with me this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, it is so wonderful to be in your house this morning as we come and worship you. And Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have to worship you freely according to our faith in you and according to our conscience and what we believe in as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come before you with our needs and requests, we also think of the needs of family members and of friends, the needs of the patients that are here throughout this medical center, the needs of the staff that are working, the needs of the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we just lift them all up to you because we know as we have our own individual needs, as we have our own individual struggles, so they have their individual needs and struggles as well. And Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we also pray for them. And Lord, we think of others throughout this city, throughout this state, throughout this nation, throughout the world in which we live. And God, right now, you are calling to mind those people that you want us to pray for. And Lord, we lift them up to you. And God, we would ask that in all of the circumstances that you would remind them that they are never alone, that you haven't forsaken them, even in the darkest moments of grief and pain. You are there with them. And God, we are so thankful that you have taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 395, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord.
Freely bestowed.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us this morning by our time of prayer, by the time of reading your scripture, by the time of us singing hymns, reminding us of the grace that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we are just so consumed by your love and your presence. And God, we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you for that. And God, I would ask that you would help me to continue the reminders of that presence in our lives. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we actually have the palms out, and feel free to take a palm when you leave here today to remember of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, where he was beginning his time in which he would be going to the cross and being put to death. But also, the reminder that he rose from the grave, and then later on he ascended into heaven. So even though the story starts off with people saying Hosanna and glory to him and worshiping him in that sense in terms of who he was as the representation of the Messiah as Christ, and we also see, as we will talk about next week, his death, his crucifixion, but also his resurrection and what that means for us. So Jesus is sharing with the disciples and identifying with them in terms of who they were and the understanding that they had of the stories of the Hebrew Scriptures. And one of those stories is Jesus' reference to the fact that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of God, Son of Man, must be lifted up. And that story goes back to when the Israelites were in the Exodus process going to the Promised Land. And at the time that Jesus is referencing this part in the Scriptures, the Israelites had just had a tremendous big victory over the Canaanites. In fact, they were feeling pretty good about it because God had given them that victory. But there was another nation called Edom, and the king of Edom would not let the Israelites pass through on their way. And so Moses told the Israelites in their Exodus process that they had to go around the nation of Edom, the country of Edom, to get to the promised land that God had for them. And the people did not like that. The people were grumbling. The people were very upset about the fact that here we are, so close, we just had this tremendous victory, and now we have to go in a different direction, hundreds of miles to get to where we need to be in the promised land that is for us. And so they began to grumble, and they began to complain, and they began to complain about the fact that they didn't have any food, which was not true, because God had provided them manna from heaven every day, and they were sick of the manna. They were tired of having to look for water, and they were just bellyaching about everything. And so God sent serpents, snakes, to the Israelites, and these serpents, these snakes, were fiery snakes, fiery serpents. And they believed that every time that they were bitten, there was an intense burning sensation that took place, and then you would die after you received the snake bite. So God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to put it on a staff, And all those that were bitten, if they looked upon the staff with the bronze serpent on it, believing that they would be healed, that they would be saved, that death would not occur to them. And so that's exactly what happened. Those that had been bitten by the snakes, by the serpents, when they looked upon the image on the staff, that they were healed. They were saved from death. And Jesus gives us that example. And it's an interesting example because if you think about it, a couple of things here. Later on, he will be raised up, right, on a cross. And that symbol would represent to many people later on the fact that he is our healer from eternal death. That if we believe in faith on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that we too will have life and that we will have it abundantly. And so Jesus gave his disciples this example, and they knew of the story. They knew what had happened to the Israelites during their Exodus. They knew of their belly aching and their griping. And I'm always so glad when I read those stories that people in the past are the same that we are today. We grumble, we gripe about our circumstances. We complain when things are going so well for us, and then we feel that God is on our side and that nothing can stop us, but then all of a sudden God takes us in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling that I'm on a winning streak, I don't want that winning streak to stop. I want it to continue. And when God tells me to go in a different direction that seems to be contrary to what I am thinking and contrary to my plans, I find myself grumbling, complaining, belly aching, upset with God that he's not fulfilling the plans that I have. So the people of the past in the scriptures, they are no different than you and I. Because we too probably would be responding in the same way that the Israelites responded. Because they wanted to get to their final destination. And it reminds me when you have children in the car with you and you're going on a long journey and they keep on asking again and again and again, when are we going to get there? You ever have that happen to you? I have that happen to me every time the grandkids get in the car with me and we're going for a little bit of a distance and they keep on wanting to know after a few minutes, when are we going to get there? We ask the same question of God. When are we going to get there? When are we going to receive the rewards that you have told us all about? When are we going to see and understand fully the life that you want us to have? But God tells us, as Jesus told the disciples in this brief passage of Scripture, that we are to have faith that God is in control of our circumstances. And many times that is difficult for us to understand because we do not like to go through trials. And when we have to go through trials, we know and we understand, but yet we still don't like it. The scriptures tell us that we are to persevere, that we are to have perseverance. And through that perseverance, it gives us the faith that we need to have. And through the faith that we have that eventual understanding of hope that we have in God. That is the lesson that God was trying to show the Israelites during the Exodus through Moses. That is what Christ is trying to show his disciples. That is what God is trying to show us today as we look to Christ's example in our life. That God wants us to persevere even though we don't like the trials. We need to acknowledge those trials. And we need to persevere, understanding that God is with us, that he has not forsaken us. And it's through that perseverance when we keep our eyes upon God that we begin to see and understand the faith that he wants us to have in all things. And as we begin and to see and understand the faith that God wants us to have, He gives us that hope that passes all of our understanding, that surpasses all of our reasoning, all of our logic, all of the things that should make sense, but yet they don't. But yet we see them totally and completely in the hope that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Palm Sunday for us is that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And if you will, a victory. And seeing and understanding the Messiah to the people that were there. But yet we know how the story continues on during that week and at the end of that week. But then we see as Christ persevered, and as Christ had hope, as had the faith, then we see the hope that God gives us through what the cross provides for us. And there's a teaching moment in that for each and every one of us. Because you and I are no different in the eyes of God. We have the same desires. We want to have a life that is good. And when we have trials, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, we cry out to God. And God reminds us that as we persevere, as we don't give up, that through that effort, not on our own, but God walking by our side, we receive and understand the faith that God wants us to have. And in that faith, we see the hope that God wants us to have in this life and in the life to come. Because you see, Jesus Christ not only gave us eternal life that is to come, but the life that God has for us right now. I was reading something the other day, and the author was stating the facts that if we feel depressed about something, it's probably because we are looking at the past and the if-onlys and the things that we have liked to have changed if we could. And if we have anxiety, it's probably because we are looking to the future, trying to anticipate things that may happen or may not happen in our lives. And the author stressed the importance about looking at our everyday lives, the time that we have with each other, the time that we have with God, and the peace that can be given to us when we focus on what we do have. Not the things of the past, not the things that may be before us, but on the things that we have now. And the things that we have now in which you and I can embrace and enjoy. That you and I can enjoy the relationship and the life that God wants us to have. And understanding that gives us the peace that truly does pass all of our understanding. And as we sang the hymns this morning about God's grace, it is grace that covers the past, covers the future, and covers the present. And when we understand that, our life becomes more and more meaningful in everything we do. We begin and value the sense of time that God has given us with individuals, and we cherish that time that we have. And when we cherish those moments of the present that we have this peace because we know we are following God. We know that we are persevering with God. And we know and we understand that as we enjoy that moment, it is with faith believing in all things. You and I have had trials of a different kind. Because each one of us, as we have journeyed through life, have experienced different things. But yet the trials, the whole idea of suffering, the whole idea of making mistakes, the whole idea of needing forgiveness, the whole idea of understanding that without Christ in our lives, that we are truly nothing. It is the same. It is the same for you. It is the same for me. Because then we see, as we are walking with God and we get to that place where we put our hope in all things in God, that we have that patience that makes us enjoy the present time that we have, gives us that peace. Because then we see that we're in that process that God wants us to have, that makes us more mature in understanding the things of God. And as we have that maturity, as we grow in Christ, we see ourselves in a sense of preparedness that whatever is before us, that we will not be afraid. Because greater is he that is in you, right? The Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. And we have that sense of being prepared for the unknowns, whatever they might be. Because we know that we are walking with God. And when we are walking with God, we too are lifted up. We're lifted up above those things that have been causing us so much emotional problems. So many things that have been upsetting to us. So many things that has confused us. And God lifts us up above all that. He lifts us up to give us a vantage point that we can only see when we are walking with God. A vantage point that is above all of it. Because when you're involved in conflict, when you are involved in a situation that is creating either depression or anxiety, you really can't see your way to get out of it until you get above it all. And God gives us the opportunity as we walk with God. And as we understand our relationship with Christ, it is that hope that gives us the opportunity to see things from a different perspective, to see it from above. And it is one of those miraculous things that's hard to describe, but we find ourselves removed from the conflict and we are able to see it for ourselves the way it needs to be seen, so we can take the appropriate action that we need to do to make it right before God, so we can do the right thing in our lives that God wants us to do. And then as we are doing those things, we find and we see the relationships that God has us with other people in a very unique and different way, because we understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the people that are around us, because we are not afraid. We are not afraid because we know what the future is going to be like, but then we understand that in the present moment that God is with us always. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Do you believe that? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe that? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to the world through him, that it may be saved. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, God will give you the strength that you need to have to persevere through whatever those trials may be. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's later this week, whether it's later this month, whether it's sometime this year, to believe in what God has done for you gives you the strength and the understanding that you need to persevere through those. And we will see and we will understand, just like the Israelites understood when they looked upon the serpent on the staff, with faith believing, they were healed. And in the same way, when we think of the cross and we look at what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it gives us that faith believing to heal us from the sin that is in our lives, to heal us, to give us the freedom that we need to have to do the things that God wants us to do. And then we see through all of those circumstances that God gives us that hope, that unites us, that makes us different as followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is that hope that we have that makes us the followers of Jesus Christ, that makes us the church of Jesus Christ. And it is in that hope that we find that security. It is in that hope that we find the peace that God wants us to have. So it is my hope and prayer that as we look through this week and Easter coming up on next Sunday, that we understand that God wants us to have all of that, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our desires. He wants us to take all of those things before him and allow God to take us through each one of those steps to achieve not our will, but the will of God working in our lives, because that is the right thing to do. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we come before God wanting to do the right thing and embracing that relationship that he always has for us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us again and again how you want us to come to you in all things. And God, forgive us when we have not embraced the grace that you have for us. Forgive us when we have not put our trust in you in the way that we should. Forgive us for not having the faith that you can save us from the things that we are experiencing and the challenges that we are having in our lives. And God, all we can say right now is how thankful we are that you love us and that you care for us just the way we are, and how thankful we have in that relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, God, of our sins. Help us to embrace the freedom that we have in Christ so that we can do the right thing in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Please turn with me in your hymnals to number 389, Just As I Am. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you accept us in our act of worship, and Lord, we just don't deserve your love. Help us to understand, God, that your love is there for us. All you want us to do is to believe. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our worship by singing the doxology, which is number 549. The doxology, number 549. Is hymn number 711. Let all the earth worship the Lord. Let all the world's citizens fear. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I would walk in your truth. Inspire my mind to worship your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I would praise you, O Master my God, with all my heart, and honor your name forever. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. How numerous are your deeds, O Lord, and all of them done with such wisdom. Your activity fills the earth. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 458. Jesus, keep me near the cross. 458. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to come and worship together in this chapel. And Lord, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives. Lord, you know what they are. And Lord, we do not pray out of repetition, but we pray because we want to have communion with you, God. We want to have better insight in our lives from you, God. We want the Spirit of God just to emanate from our lives so that we can take each step in faith, trusting you in everything that we do. And Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, and we praise you for that. Because we are praying to you, God, because we want our hearts to be open to the things that you want us to learn. And Lord, we are so appreciative of the time that we have together, the prayers that we offer, the hymns that we sing, the scriptures that we read together, and the fellowship that we have with you, God. And Lord, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have. Lord, we are just so thankful that you do hear our prayers. And we realize in our individual lives that there is no need too small or need too big that you cannot handle. But God, we doubt in our lives. We have trouble trusting you. We need to have our faith restored every time we reach out to you. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to do that for us, because we do want to trust you, and we do want to have faith in you in all things. God, we think of the family members and friends that we have. We lift them up to you in prayer. We think of the patients throughout this medical center, the staff that are working here today, the family members that will be visiting. Lord, in the same way, we'd ask that as we pray for them, that you would also give them the trust and the faith that they need to have so they can take each step in your will. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are just so thankful for this time that we have. And Lord, we just pray for your continued blessing upon us as we desire to understand our daily walk with you more and more. Help us, God, with that understanding. In Christ's name, amen. So how many of you this morning are not content in your circumstances? Be honest with me. How many of you are not content in your circumstances? I would have to say that even though I just read this portion of Scripture and I'm going to be doing a sermon on contentment, that there are things in my life that I would have changed a little bit if I could. Maybe not a whole lot, but I am not content about everything that is going on in my life. And I believe that kind of sums up the direction that we're heading this morning, that all of us, we want to have contentment, and we search daily to find it. We look to find that satisfaction that we know in our own personal lives that just circumstances just can't seem to make it happen. We all want that satisfaction. Does anybody remember that song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? Am I dating myself with that song? "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? And I think all of us struggle with that because I think all of us want to have that contentment that is mentioned here this morning in the Scriptures. That satisfaction of who we are individually in our walk with God. And it is a struggle. And the first thing I think we need to admit to ourselves is that there are times that we want more. We want to have satisfaction that the world just cannot seem to provide to us. That our circumstances, this doesn't make it with us. We can't seem to have the satisfaction, even though we have a lot of things going on in our lives that are good, that are positive, we are just searching for that other thing, that one more thing that we think will give us satisfaction and contentment. But yet we can't seem to find it. It appears to be elusive. But yet the Scriptures here this morning tells us that we can find that elusive contentment. And understanding that regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of whether we are in need or regardless of whether we have a lot, that there is only one person in our lives that can give us that contentment and that satisfaction. And that is our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet, as I say that, and I just admitted to you by the raising of my hand, that I am just not satisfied with the circumstances in my life. And that is a struggle. It is a struggle for me. Because I never seem to be just quite satisfied. I want that next step. I want that next thing. And we've talked about here in the chapel the whole idea of patience and what that means to be patient. And I think patience is a part of contentment that we need to put in there when we understand as we are looking for our own personal desires and our own personal satisfaction, but I can't get no satisfaction. One of the reasons is I have found in my own personal life is that I just haven't been patient enough to see the things that God has given me. And so I think contentment, if we are truly seeking it, if we truly desire it, if we truly want to have that satisfaction, we need to acknowledge the many blessings that God has given us in our lives. And we need to say thank you. Thank you for the things that you have provided for me today. And I think there's an immediacy in terms of understanding the whole idea of contentment and satisfaction. that we need to be thankful this morning for what God has given us. We need to be thankful for the relationships that He has provided for us. We need to be thankful for the circumstances that we are in today, right now, this morning. And when we do so, I think we have a sense of contentment, a sense of satisfaction that the world could not provide to us. Because it is something spiritual within our own lives so that we can have contentment, something that reaches beyond who we are in Christ, something that goes beyond the relationships that we have with each other, but is transcendent with our relationship with Jesus Christ, that gives us that contentment. Because what is your desire this morning? Is your true desire to have the best fellowship that you can have with God? Is your true desire to really want to commune with God spiritually and to see God reveal things in your life that you've never saw before, even though it might require you to change something that you are doing in your life? Is that your true desire? And I think when we look at what our desires are looking for, we see where the whole idea of being satisfied and being content can happen to us if we think about what are we thinking about. If we are only thinking about ourselves and what we can get out of this life and not thinking about the life that God wants us to have in this life. And I think also to go beyond that, to think about the life that God has waiting for each and every one of us in eternity. And I think if we put our perspective in the correct way, spiritually, we can see the satisfaction that God wants us to have. We can see that contentment that God wants us to have. Because it is not based on our environment. It is not based in the situation that we are in. It's not based on our fleshly nature. And the scriptures have told us that once we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, that old nature is put away and we take on that new nature that is in Christ. And that new nature that we have in Christ should be based on contentment. But yet we know we struggle with that because we live in a competitive environment. I come from a competitive family. In fact, we joke about different things in our own family today in terms of who has the highest score doing this and who's the first to do this. And who graduated first in this. So we have that sense of competitiveness within our own families. We brag about the things that we do good at. We brag about when we're even playing Go Fish, right? There's a little competitiveness there. And even when I play Go Fish with my grandchildren, I have to be careful that one of them is not looking at my cards or one of the other kids is not looking at their other. You see those things that happen. We're laughing about that, right? But we have that sense of competitiveness. We want to win. And we think that the only way that we can find that contentment and that satisfaction is by winning. But the scriptures tell us that is not the case. The satisfaction happens when we win in our relationship with God. And we are on a winning team. If I have to quantify that in terms of our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I are a winning team. We've already had the victory. God is just allowing us to play the part in that victory that has already been won. And in that sense, we can see the desire that we have, that we want to pursue the things of God, if we realize that we are on the winning team. But yet there's always those distractions that we have about wanting a little bit more about this, maybe a nicer place to live, maybe an increase in salary, maybe a better benefit here, a better relationship with this. But yet I think that is something I know that I will struggle with. But as long as I understand where my true contentment is, where my true satisfaction is, that more times than not, I will be walking with God. That should be my goal. And I suggest to you this morning that should be your goal as well. is that we realize that there were going to be circumstances that we're going to want more. But yet we need to understand that that wanting does not come from God. That wanting comes from the old nature of our lives that has been put to death, that is no longer there. And it gives us the proper perspective that God wants us to have. And so we see the sense within our own lives that we look at the circumstances, we look at other people in our lives, and we look at what they've been able to accumulate, what they've been able to have. And as we make those unfair measurements that we do to others, we do that, right? If you have family members, you measure how you're doing with how they're doing, right? And in some families, at least in the families that I'm a part of, there seems to be a pecking order in terms of who's doing what and how much wealth has been accumulated. And we measure each other based on that type of scale. But God says, no. We should never measure each other on the accumulation of wealth or position or power. Because that is not the scale that God measures us. God measures us based on how much we reach out to Him in prayer. How much we are willing to serve God. How much we're willing to say, yes, God, I am so thankful for the circumstances that you've given me. And Lord, I know that you've blessed me so much. And Lord, I just want to do your will more each day. And I want to serve you more each day. And I want to put my selfish desires aside. And I want to live for you. I want to show love and compassion to other people. I want to be able to give in such a way that I've never been able to give before. That's the scale and measurement that God wants us to have. It's not based on the things in this life. It's based on those things in our internal lives that are measured by the external things that we believe in terms of our faith in God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is something there that we need to consider. Because when we do that, that satisfaction that we will have will really surprise other people. Because they're going to say to you, how are you satisfied with your life compared to other people you have accounted for in their eyes, maybe nothing. Maybe in that circumstance, they see you and they see a contentment, and maybe they are a little envious because you've found the peace that passes all understanding, that the things that they've been able to acquire just don't measure up. Just don't measure up in our lives. But if you have found that peace, you've been able to overcome things in your life because of the power of God and the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Christ. And you've been able to pick up those things in your life, and you've been able to move forward, and you've been able to achieve things that nobody thought that you could ever achieve because they thought somehow that you were a loser. But you found a winning relationship in Jesus Christ. You found the victory in your life that you've been looking for, that you finally have found. And those people that look at you now, they're like, wow, who is this person? I don't even recognize them anymore. They seem to have a whole different attitude about life. And that is reflective in the contentment that you have. The contentment that God has given you. And there is a process in terms of understanding how we can be content. And we can learn to be satisfied in our circumstances. But the first thing that we need to realize is that we are going to have desires. We are going to have longings. But yet the scriptures remind us that in all of those circumstances that we are to be content. Whether we have a little or whether we have a lot. And to learn how to balance that within our own lives. To learn how to humble yourself in all humility and to say thank you for the things that God has given you. And we do that by thanking God for the littlest things in our lives. Not just for the big things, but for the little things. Thank you, God, for the food that I ate this morning. Thank you for the place that I was able to sleep this morning. Thank you for the relationships that I have with the people this morning. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up this morning and for the most part be pretty healthy in mind, body, and spirit. Thank you, God, for that. And when we are thanking God for those things, it gives us the proper perspective that we need to have. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have that attitude. I was kind of like, oh God, another Sunday morning, right? God, can something exciting happen to me today? How am I going to preach this morning? Because Lord, I just don't have that feeling of excitement. Now I do now since I've been preaching to you. But when I got up this morning, I had that blase, you know, that blase that you feel. You know, you're kind of like, oh, God, okay, another day. Well, how am I going to treat this day, God? What am I going to experience? I want something fantastic to happen. And God reminded me this morning that something has happened in a fantastic way. And something will happen to you in a fantastic way. Did you see the things around you that you can be thankful for? Not just the possessions, not just the things that we have, but the people that we love and the people that love us. And we embrace them. I found myself being humbled in those circumstances, understanding that, God, the contentment that you've given me comes only from you in my relationship with Christ. And forgive me for desiring something that I know can never be satisfied except in my relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And then I found myself being inspired. I found myself, as I was getting ready for the service this morning, saying, thank you, God, for the opportunity that I have to come and just to share what's on my heart with others. Thank you, God, for the responsibility that you've given me. Even though there are times, God, I just don't want to have that responsibility. But I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you for the people that you've put in my life that have just confirmed the relationship that I have with you, that show and that demonstrate the love that you have for me, God. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, God, for all of the imperfections. I thank you for the mistakes that I've made, because when I truly embrace those mistakes, I see the learning that can take place in my life so that I can draw closer to you. I thank you for those imperfections, because in that imperfections that I see around me, I see the love, God, that you can comfort me through the Spirit of your presence in my life. And I thank you, God, for the way that you challenge me, the way that your Holy Spirit pricks at me, the way that you get my attention to say, no, I don't want you to live this way, I want you to live that way. And you challenge me, God, to live better. Not because you're trying to punish me, God, but because you want me to have more peace. You want me to have more enjoyment from my life. And that's really what it's all about. When it's all said and done about the contentment that God wants us to have, the satisfaction that you and I long for each day, it comes from the fact that God wants to be in control of our lives in all of those circumstances. Somebody texted me the other day about some changes that have happened in our world, and they texted me a little message about how is this going to influence your situation and how this is going to change your situation. And I responded back, God is in control. And then I put the word right and then the word question mark. And that person responded to me, In the same way, they said, yes, God is in control. So when we look at the sense of being discontented with our lives, when we look at and examine our emotions, when we are unsatisfied with our circumstances, God wants us to look up to Him. And He wants us to ask a question of ourselves. Is God in control? Do you take that step in faith, understanding that God is in control of your life? Because if we answer that question, however we answer it, is whether we have contentment or whether we have discontentment. Whether we are satisfied or whether we are unsatisfied. By just asking that one basic question. And I have to ask God to forgive me for this morning because my initial response was, God, I know that you're in control, but there are times that I just don't believe it. And I want to see it. And God responded, I am in control. And I will give you the vision and the insight to see that I am in control of all of those circumstances. And in that moment, as I share with you, there was a spirit of contentment and a spirit of satisfaction that I cannot explain to you other than the fact that unless you've been there, unless you've experienced the power of God working in your life, you would not be able to understand. But I believe all of you here have had that experience when God gave you the vision to see that He is in control of all of your circumstances. He gave you that spirit of contentment, that spirit of satisfaction that no one else can explain, but just happens when we are totally honest before God and all the things that are taking place in our life. And He gives us that purpose and that faith and that strength to do all those things that God wants us to accomplish, not for our own will, not for our own desires, but for those things that accomplish the will of God in our lives and in the lives of others. God wants us to have that contentment, and He wants us to have that contentment every moment of every day. And that should be our goal, understanding that God is in control. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it is a wonderful time when we do that to know that God truly is in control. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have reminded me and that you've reminded all of us that you are in control of the circumstances in our lives. And God, I know that many times I have messed up those circumstances. I've made poor decisions. And I take responsibility for that. Forgive me, God, when I have not put my total trust in you. And Lord, I am just so thankful that you do forgive me. You do give me that sense of contentment that can only come from a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive me, God, when I have not trusted you fully and I have wanted to take control of those circumstances. Thank you, God, for allowing each and every one of us to come and to remember that we all have that contentment through your Son Christ and what He did for us on the cross. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 457. "My hope is built on nothing less." Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have provided each and every one of us the direction that you want us to walk in contentment and in satisfaction with you. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to understand that in all of the circumstances that we are in, that you are in control of our lives and you are there to help us. You are there to help us to overcome the challenges that we're having, to have the insight and the vision that you want us to have, God, so that we can walk with you according to your will and purpose. Give us the strength to do that, because we can do all things through you and your Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us strength. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.